listening to Speaking with One Voice with Rodney Payne. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, topics you'd like discussed on the show, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please email us at rpayne@onevoiceinc.org. That's rpayne@onevoiceinc.org. You can also search for us on Acast, Google Play, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Just look for Speaking with One Voice. Now, here's your host, Rodney Payne.
Hello, and welcome to Speaking with One Voice. I am your host, the coach, Rodney Payne. So glad to be back with you. We had to do some changes to our podcast, but we are back. Speaking with One Voice, your leadership podcast designed with you in mind to help grow you and your leadership team to the next level to get you from where you are to where you want to be. Please make sure you're following us on our social media platforms at Rodney R. Payne. That includes YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, you name it, or X as they call it. We are there for you. And I just want to thank you for your loyal support and being a listener to this podcast, for rating us, for subscribing to us, liking us, and sharing us. We certainly appreciate that. I am glad to be with you. I want to hop right into this thing. I am your host, the coach, Rodney Payne, and I am glad to be back with you. I've missed sharing with you. So let's talk about this today. Today, I want to talk about the winning leader. Today, I want to talk about the winning leader. When we talk about leadership and how we get to that next level, we describe these things called wins or victories or the things that we're are in pursuit of. That's our goal. Well, I just want to put that together in this competitive season where we've got athletics going on. We've got first to market. We've got brand competition. We've got all of these things fighting for shelf space in our life. And then as a leader, do we define our success by our winning? If so, what is that? So I want to talk about three things that are really going to help us on our journey to becoming and maintaining this level of the status, if you will, of being a winning leader. So when we talk about winning, winning means that we want to gain victory, to overcome an adversary. When you talk about winning, you're suggesting that there is an opponent. There's something that's trying to strive against you in order for you to get where you're going. When you talk about winning, it means that you finish first. Whatever the competition, the race, you're going to be the one that finishes first or finds success. I get that that definition kind of has a lot of tentacles to it. It comes from various directions, and it's broad concerning winning. So it can be very difficult for us to narrow down what we mean when we say a winning leader. So today, I want to talk about how winning is what we desire if it's in its right perspective, if it's in its right context. Winning must consider more than just finishing first or overcoming an obstacle to be truly classified as a win. So when I think about the winning leader, there are some factors that we have to consider if we're going to use this this moniker, if we're going to use this title, and then we have to qualify if we're actually a winning leader. No leader goes to work every day and carries the burden of the team, the culture of the organization that depends upon them, the effectiveness of the organization, with the intent to lose. We all want to win, but what does that mean? I want to give you three considerations today that will help us on this journey to becoming a winning leader. The first consideration is you have to clearly define winning. Again, you have to clearly define winning. If we don't clearly define winning, it could seem like we're winning when actually we're losing, or we may be winning and not know we're winning, or we may think we're winning, but we're actually losing. There's so many different variables there. So if you're going to be a winning leader, it's going to require that you take some time to develop, set aside, and then follow what I call guiding principles. Guiding principles. Guiding principles are going to be what determines your true north, because anything achieved that does not align itself properly with your guiding principles cannot be considered a win. Now, guiding principles are personal. They're not universal. We all like to see certain things in winners, and we have different levels of integrity or different levels or perspectives on character or product or performance or things that we'll do or things that we won't do, as is evidenced by the broad types of businesses and organizations that you see around the world. There are some things that some would never do, while others people do all the time. It's no problem. So you have to get into these acceptable terms, et cetera. So just because society says it's okay, that may not particularly align with your guiding principles. Or just because society says it's wrong doesn't mean it may be wrong to you in how you particularly approach the situation. So what we want to talk about here in these guiding principles, what do you stand for? What does your brand stand for? And you have to be very specific. You can't just say we're good people that do good business. Excuse me, what does that mean? What does being a good person that does good business really mean? So you have to take time to truly, excuse me, define and identify your guiding principles. What are they? That you don't have to have 10 or 15. You can have 2 or 3. It may even be one that you live by. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, you must establish it and then hold yourself to it. That's right. You got to hold yourself to it. You got to clearly define your true north, and then you have to truly define what's out of bounds. What is not acceptable for you? What things will you not do? There's got to be some business that's just not in line with you. That doesn't even mean necessarily that it's a negative form of business. It doesn't even mean it's immoral in some situations. It simply means that in my business, this is not a place that we do business. Many leaders are so scattered, and entrepreneurs, they have so many things they're good at that they don't settle on anything, and then things begin to creep into their business. Well, if you have some guiding principles already established, you have to understand that if they're already established, now they get to dictate for you what you will and will not do, or they'll make decisions for you. So if you take the time to build these guiding principles, guess what? You're going to save yourself time in the decision-making process. And remember, great leaders are great decision makers. So you'll let it put it into this system that you have. Say, listen, that's outside of what we do, and you can decline and you can move on. So you have to understand Are you a leader who believes in winning at all cost? Well, if you believe in winning at all cost and you have no true north or no guiding principles, now you get yourself in compromising situations and your business can't win because you have not clearly defined what winning is to you. Listen, we should have some goals. I get it. We ought to have some milestone markers we're pursuing and things that identify and determine our success or failure. I am all for those. I just want you to make sure that those are always balanced out by guiding principles that tell you what your brand is and what you're going to do. What you know is there is a very famous QSR, quick service restaurant. You hear me talk about them on a regular basis. They have a standard. They have a tagline. They have a presentation. They don't get it right 100% of the time, but they do get it right enough to where everyone identifies their brand by this. There are many, I use QSRs, quick service restaurants, because many of us go by these fast food restaurants and pick up stuff. And you can say a tagline, and by saying that line, you know how to identify that brand. The difference is some of these restaurants have developed such a particular culture that they actually produce according to what they say. And that's because they've got some guiding principles organizationally that are non-negotiable. So if you can't fit within that guiding principle, guess what? You can't be on that team. And as a result, that is a winning team, as by any measurement of anyone who looks at that particular organization. That's what I want you to understand. If you're going to be a winning leader, you have to clearly define winning, establish guiding principles to direct your winning, and then make sure that achieving at all cost is not a part of your brand. Understand this. I believe in an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. I believe in sacrificial leadership and sacrificial work. What I don't believe in is sacrificing people to do what you call win. So if we are winning at the cost of sacrificing people over and over again, we have to work with that. Now, you can't handle all attrition. You can't be responsible for people growing to a level and moving on. But if you can be responsible for putting them on the altar and giving them up for the good of your business, that you can control. So consideration number one is that you must clearly define winning. We're talking about the winning leader. You're listening to Speaking with One Voice. I am your host, the coach, Rodney Payne. So glad to be back in this seat and glad you are here. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at rpayne@onevoiceinc.org or go to our website, rodneyrpayne.com. Let us know you're listening. We'd love to hear from you. Back to the subject today, for today, the winning leader. The second consideration is that you must clearly define or identify the competition. So if you're going to win, we talked about winning. Winning has an opponent. Winning, to win, you're going to have an adversary. You're going to be fighting against something in some way. So we got to get a good picture of who is the competition. And so what I want to talk about first is that we all have competitors in our space. There are people and organizations that do what you do, and they're seeking the same person you're seeking, and they're looking to solve the same problems that you or your organization solves. So that is your competition. My question becomes, for the winning leader, is does your competition influence your behavior? Does your competition influence your behavior? Well, before you answer too abruptly, let's think about this. I know that in sports, it's common practice to get the film of the previous, of the competing team, of your next opponent. You get a video, or we called it film when I was a kid, and you look at your competition, you learn their tendencies, and you build a defense to defense them, or you find a place to attack them offensively where you've seen some weaknesses there. And so I want to keep this in perspective. But I don't want to give my competition too much influence over my behavior. Why is that? Well, because say, for instance, if your competitor is very good at stopping something that you do well, but they're not good at stopping something that you don't do well. Well, if you don't do it well, you can't succeed because you can't execute that thing. So while you'd like to go in and change your strength, you really can't do that. So sometimes you shouldn't allow the competition to influence your behavior. You should be better at what you're already good at. Let me say that again. You should get better at what you're already good at. One of the biggest challenges for entrepreneurs and businesses alike is that we don't take the time to get good first. I learned that through my mentor, John Maxwell. He says you're never good the first time. And so Chris Robinson, one of our leaders there at Maxwell, tells us, make sure you get good first. We go to market so quickly and we're fighting against competitors who have already established themselves, who already have their brand built, who already have their expertise, their niche. They understand who they are. So they're better at being them than we are at being us. So they're really not our competition because we're not as good as we should be at being us. I want you to make sure that you don't get so caught up in analyzing and comparing to your competitor that you become a secondary clone of your competitor and you end up doing what they do, the way they do it, how they do it. What makes you who you are is your uniqueness and your abilities and your strengths. So what you have to learn to do is not worry about your competitor's weaknesses as much as you worry about your own strengths. I want you to focus on your strengths because if you base your product on your competition, you may never find the place where you're strong enough. But if you focus on your strengths and you understand that you can get better, then you have to understand that you can win. Why? Because winning is determined by our own team. What happens is when we play our game, I love so much watching sports and playoffs in football and basketball and NCAA and March Madness. I love it. But what I really, really like is when you hear the winning team, their best player, their star player, the one who was a star that night, get interviewed. They often ask, so what was the key to your success? And they say, we stuck to our game plan. We didn't let them dictate the terms of our competition tonight. We stuck to our game plan. That's how you're going to win. So if you can identify competition as you are your own competition, you are the one that you're competing against. The best way for me to be the best and put myself in the best position to win is to be the best version of myself. That's right. I want you to understand, if a winning leader knows who they are and they maximize what they do and they augment or add to the team as necessary to bring areas of strength in the other places. So when you're competing against a team and you have a weakness, don't let your competition determine what your weakness is. You already know what your weakness is. So what you do is you solve for your weakness by hiring strength or delegating to a team member who's strong there. And that's how we ultimately win. It's so important to understand that you are your best competition. You are your most significant competition. And when you learn who you are, you can grow yourself in the appropriate areas as an individual and as a team to get the desired results, which we would then call winning, because it aligns with our true north. It stays with our character. It stays with our culture. It stays with our proficiency. It stays with our right content. It stays with satisfying our client. And that becomes our ultimate win. So I really want you to take the time to consider this, that you are your competition. When you are the best version of you, you will always win more than you lose. Losing is inevitable. We're all going to take some losses along the way, but I have to help you to understand that if you want to win consistently, you're going to win consistently being yourself, the best version of yourself consistently, which is an always growing version. There are things that if they had happened to you 3 years ago would have thrown you for a loop, would have gotten you off track. But now, because you've grown and matured, you are now a better version of you. You win in this season when you would have lost in last season, because you grew from your own weaknesses. That's where it was. You got stronger in your own strengths. So let's move on to one more. I got one more consideration. You must clearly define winning. You must clearly identify the competition. That competition is you. Lastly, you must understand that commitment is not optional for the winning leader. So let's take a minute and talk about this thing called commitment. Commitment is you're going to bind yourself. You're going to pledge yourself to your work or whatever you defined your leadership capacity as being a leader. One of my favorite books, the number one best-selling book of all time on leadership, is John Maxwell's The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And law number one is the law of the lid. And the law of the lid tells us that your team will not grow beyond you. And so as a leader who wants to be a winning leader, you must commit to developing and growing yourself as a leader. As your capacity goes, so does your team. John also says something that I just love. We typically, when we are the leader of an organization and we've moved past the newlywed period and the team is now growing and we're adding members and losing members, what he says is that you attract who you are. So if you have a subpar leadership team, it could be that you should look at yourself first and grow yourself to attract better talent, because people that are stronger are not attracted to leaders who lead at a lower level, and they won't stay. They'll come, but they won't stay unless there is something there that keeps them engaged. So when we talk about commitment, what I'm really saying is there is a price to pay to do what you do as a leader. There's a price to pay. And so commitment, my friends, is the price that you pay to do what you say you believe. Let me say that again. Commitment is the price that we as leaders pay to do what we say we believe. If you say you believe this and you believe in our product, you believe in our company, you believe in our brand, you believe in our direction, you believe in our success, then you have to, as a leader, do what you say you believe. And my friends, that is the simplest form of a definition I can give you for commitment. It's not saying it. It's actually doing it. It's actually modeling winning behaviors. It's actually modeling success. It's not being dependent on your team for success, but rather you're going to model success and participate with them in winning. So what does commitment do for you? Well, commitment is going to help you to overcome your adversary, overcome your opponent, overcome obstacles. Commitment is going to lead you to develop strategies. It's going to help you determine winning plays for your team. When you're committed, you're going to do the research that's necessary for you to get good first and to make sure that you're ready. It's going to develop systems, right? So you got obstacles you're going to overcome. You got to develop these strategies. You got to develop these systems. What are our systems for our success? We have to know how we make it. One of the things that you find out in opening a business in a restaurant, they look at the decor. They look at the location. They look at the potential foot traffic. They look at the design. They look at the flow of the kitchen and what have you. But what really matters is that you must have the right recipes. And they must be prepared consistently, and they must be delivered in the right way to be consumed. So the success or failure is not how pretty your restaurant is, not how much foot traffic. These things are important, but if you have bad recipes and your food is not good, people will not come to you. So commitment says we're going to be committed to getting the recipes right on the front end. Then we'll develop processes and flows out of that that will allow us to serve our clientele, and we'll have a winning culture. So I want you to know, just because someone else has decided you're not a winning leader, unless they are a part of your organization and they know your culture and they can look at your results based on your ideas, based on your guiding principles, based on what you've set before you, there's no way for them to determine whether you're a winning leader or not. But what I can tell you is that when you're a winning leader on the inside, it's going to show up on the outside. When you're a winning leader, when you're not on stage, when you get on stage, it's going to show up. So my friends, I want you to know that I believe in you. You are a winning leader. Let's go and let's make sure that we develop our guiding principles. Let's clearly define our competition, and then let's show our commitment by doing exactly what we are supposed to do. I am so glad to be with you today. I am your host, the coach, Rodney Payne. We are on Speaking with One Voice, and I cannot tell you how happy I am to be back. So what I want you to do is I want you to make sure that you are liking and that you're subscribing to all of our podcast, as well as don't forget us on social media at Rodney R. Payne. That's on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, you name it. Our website is RodneyRPayne.com. We want to hear from you. We are back. You can be expecting a lot of content, so turn your notifications on, and we will see you next week. I am so glad you stopped by to hang out with me for just a little bit today. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to Speaking with One Voice. I am your host, the coach, Rodney Payne. Until next time, let's keep growing together.
You've been listening to Speaking with One Voice. Please remember to follow Rodney Payne on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Rodney R. Payne. We'd love to hear from you and get your feedback, so please feel free to leave us comments. And if you would, rate and subscribe to the podcast. We'd appreciate that as well. Don't forget to set up for notifications so you can get the latest updates and social media posts and get new podcasts when they're released. As always, use the hashtag SpeakingWithOneVoice or simply SWOV on any of your social media posts. On behalf of Rodney Payne, thanks again for listening to Speaking with One Voice.